Welcome back to Scottsdale. This is Carey Crowley alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. Talking baseball, getting you ready for Giants D-backs at the top of the hour coming your way from Talking Stick Fields out at Salt River Fields here in Arizona. And my guest right now, Adam Copeland, KNBR's host of the Leadoff Spot, my co-host on the Copes and Crowley podcast. Copes, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, dude. It's championship Sunday in college basketball. I'm going to mix in a little spring training baseball, and then I'll probably dive into some Grammys tonight, too, Terry. It's a good Sunday, man.
Good Sunday to sit back on the couch and watch TV. Hey, I don't know if you've seen what just took place out in the Grapefruit League. Luis Guillorme, 22-pitch plate appearance against Jordan Hicks, one of the hardest throwers in baseball. And he ended up drawing a walk. A bunch of players have already taken to Twitter. Kevin Pillar, Jack Flaherty, both saying it was one of the greatest at-bats they've ever seen. Got me thinking about that 21-pitch Brandon Belt flyout a few years ago in Anaheim when they were playing the Angels. And just wondering, just off the top here, any at-bats that stick out to you in your mind that weren't like, you know, mammoth home runs or really big hits, but at-bats you'll always think about forever, whether it's a long strikeout or, you know, something really key as part of a rally that have just stood out in your mind throughout the course of being a baseball fan in your life?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Brandon Belt 22-pitch or the 21-pitch at bat. That's the one I was thinking about when I saw this note this morning. It's really impressive, by the way, that it happened against Jordan Hicks, because this is a guy, as you mentioned, one of the hardest throwers in baseball, consistently up around 100 or over 100 miles an hour with the fastball. So to continue to fight pitches off, and maybe when you get deeper into an at-bat like that, it's easier because you know he's just going to keep bringing the heat at you. But, yeah, as far as at-bats that – that just sort of draw out or that are great battles. And you mentioned ones that are home runs. Outside of the home runs, I think the immediate one that comes to mind for me always is going to be Gagne against Barry Bonds, right? He fouls off a 100-mile-an-hour ball into the Cove, and then he hits one out to center field after Gagne shakes off the changeup away and the fastball away and wants to come into Barry. The other one that comes to mind is the intentional walk, the four-pitch walk to Bonds, which isn't a grueling grinded out at that, but that they opted to walk Barry with the bases loaded to face Brent Maine. And who was the umpire? Was it Showalter? Was the umpire or the manager of the Diamondbacks when that happened?
Showalter,
anyway,
yeah.
I guess it wasn't much of a battle, but it's a mental battle, right? It's a war of attrition in baseball, and especially against Barry Bonds, you got to make those decisions. Oftentimes, ones that will hurt you in the moment, but they big picture pay out for you. So the 21 or 22 pitch at bat, that's something that's incredible that I don't know can be matched in any other sport, because it's not like a guy ever has to go to the free throw line and make 20 straight free throws, but you've got to stand up there and lock in for like 5 to 7 minutes. Like every single pitch, you're fouling off, and then you're in your head about which pitch he's going to come at you with. Is he going to come in? Is he going to go away? Are they shifting on you? What's the situation in the game? So I think that's pretty cool that battle went down. And I love that we're talking a 22 pitch at bat in the Cactus League or in the Grapefruit League, I guess.
Yeah, spring training. Nothing better than the intensity of a 22-pitch at bat during spring training. The entire Mets dugout was on their feet for that moment. Something we just saw down here at Scottsdale Stadium, Copes. Aaron Sanchez, 3-inning sim game. Haven't seen him yet in a Cactus League game. New Giants starting pitcher, but he hopes to be ready for opening day. Thinks he'll be in the opening day rotation. And he was asked afterward on Zoom about how he's preparing to hit this season, because pitchers are going to have to hit in the National League one more time after the DH came to the NL last season. He said he really hasn't even thought about it. You know, his job is to pitch. He's not thinking about doing anything at the plate other than, you know, being a good bunter and helping the Giants out by taking some pitches. Curious, outside of Madison Bumgarner, who comes to your mind as really good hitting pitchers who you've enjoyed watching through the years?
Guy who comes to mind immediately is Mike Hampton. I mean, he was the big hitter, right? The Rockies signed him. And it was funny because he hit for some power and he had some pop too. Zach Greinke had those great lines, and we discussed it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago where he said he wants to end his career with 10 career home runs and 10 career steals, and he's got 9 of each, which is a funny one. Another guy who I think, and you and I talked about this on the podcast also, I think Vicente Padilla was a switch hitting pitcher, and I've always thought that was kind of funky. Like, all these guys now are like, yeah, I don't even know how I'm going to prepare to hit this year. They may get a couple of at-bats or bunt attempts in ball games here at the end of spring training, but they're not going to waste these limited innings and limited at-bats, it sounds like, or plate appearances out on some of these pitchers. So as far as pitchers I think of that can hit, those are the two that really come to mind. I want to say LeVon Hernandez wasn't a bad hitter. Levo wasn't too bad.
Oh, he was good, yeah.
Jason Schmidt wasn't. Yeah, he was pretty good. I want to say Jason Schmidt was all right. Matt Cain, surprisingly, had some pop early in his career. He was sort of a surprise, I think, especially being another guy who came out of high school and then didn't take at-bats in the minor leagues and then had a little bit of pop. top. And the one other Giants pitcher that comes to mind, I guess, would be Russ Ortiz. I think he wasn't too bad of a hitter. And I want to say Dusty Baker used to go to, now I'm thinking like every guy in the rotation in 2000, maybe. Dusty Baker used to pinch hit Kirk Reeder a whole lot. I think Kirk Reeder used to throw the spikes on in the dugout. You'd see him like go back to the clubhouse and put the spikes on and come back out and take an at bat. So, those are a few that come to mind. I think Mike Hampton, like for my childhood, was like the premier hitting pitcher.
Man, you miss Noah Lowry. The disrespect for Noah Lowry there, Copes, really shocking me. talking baseball here with Adam Copeland.
Oh, I was at Noah Lowry's big league debut. I should have got that one. I should have pulled it. Yeah, I should have pulled the Lowry. You're right.
Talking baseball here with Adam Copeland, host of the Leadoff Spot on KNBR. Here as the Giants prepare to take on the D-backs. Hey, yesterday down in Scottsdale, Logan Webb, 4 strikeouts in the first inning, was helped out by Jose Ramirez reaching first on a drop third strike. But really, Logan Webb's changeup has been the best pitch of Giants camp. Do you think that there's a possibility he takes a big step forward this year and, you know, just wins a job outright in spring training? He's only 24 years old. He's someone who was a big-time pitching prospect 2 years ago and kind of got lost in the shuffle due to having ERAs over 5 each of the last 2 years. Are you a believer in Logan Webb's potential?
You know, I am, and it's because of now that secondary pitch, right? Like, I know that we sort of – I don't want to write off any of the sort of the foundation they've laid for him over the last couple of years, but he was really young when he got here, and I don't know that we could make the Matt Cain comparison, but as far as like the body type, the sort of way that he throws, the way he attacks with the fastball, and now that he's learning to throw that changeup off the fastball, that can be a devastating pitch, especially if he's able to pitch inside. So it's all about how it feels to me, and maybe you can comment on this too, just being that you cover the team, it feels to me like he has a grasp of who he is and what he's able to do, and he takes every outing as a learning experience. And I feel like he hasn't been too hard on himself. They've thrown him into different roles. I want to say last year they used an opener and in one of his starts, and he came out of the bullpen from center field and said it was sort of funky, but he liked it. He didn't really think much about it. Didn't really get under his skin too much. So I like that the idea that they're going to need some sort of swingman who maybe doesn't start the season in the rotation, but will have to eventually maybe make some starts or eat some bulk innings, as Gabe Kapler would call them. I think Logan Webb's a great part of that. And I think that he may be we talk about how many of these guys are not under contract, especially the rotation after this year. If they get to a point where Sean Jelly comes up and they're able to get Logan Webb into the rotation as a staple piece there, and they're able to, you know, bring Kevin Gausman back, or maybe it's Aaron Sanchez or Alex Wood, a few more of these guys, he could find himself as a long-term rotational piece for the foreseeable future, being that he's really the only Giants young starter that's kind of at this level right now with an opportunity to get onto the big league club. So I'm a believer, and the more he throws the changeup, the more we're seeing swings and misses on the changeup. And by the way, 4 strikeouts in the first inning, I saw you tweeted, that's got to be some kind of record. And also, why stop at 4? Let's go for 5 or 6 in the first inning. Now let's not stop there, Logan. Keep throwing that changeup. Keep getting those swings and misses, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear to me that Buster Posey has helped him out a lot. Logan Webb said afterward that he basically always throws what Buster Posey puts down in terms of his signs, that he shook him off for the very first time yesterday and threw a changeup that ended up getting a swing and miss, so he felt relieved about that. But I think that having the veteran catcher back there will certainly help him. Hey, Copes, one more question here before we let you go. Giants player prediction time. Giants player who has a big season this year who will not be on the opening day roster. I'm thinking like a Jason Vossler type, Lamont Wade. Who's your pick for a guy who won't break camp with the team but will have a big year in helping the Giants?
Ooh, boy, you and I kind of did this on the podcast this week where I asked you the over-under on the date that Elliot Ramos makes his debut. I think Elliot Ramos is going to make a debut at the end of the summer. I think Elliot Ramos, before we get to, and you had this prediction too, before we get to rosters expanding in September, I think he's on the big league roster before then so that he's eligible for that little late postseason run potentially that the Giants go on at the end of the season. I like Elliot Ramos to make the roster, have a little bit of pop, maybe not hit for tons of average, but give us little flashes to show us that next year is when we hand him the keys and we say, you're the everyday center fielder, left fielder, right fielder, whatever position they decide is best for him.
Elliot Ramos, he can hit. Adam Copeland, he can talk. Copes, thanks so much for joining us here on Talking Baseball.
Always, Kerry. We'll catch you later, man.
All right, coming up next, Marty Lurie and Bruce Jenkins looking through the window of baseball. Classic segment to classic seam heads. You're listening Talking Baseball here on KBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.